Today, we are going to be looking at our first series of questions and answers. Now, these are not going to be questions at random. They've been submitted in the question box, and so I have picked a couple from that box, and they will be answered, or I will do my best to answer them this morning for us. But before we begin, if you would please, as the coffee finishes brewing, bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are infinitely great and abundantly merciful to your people. We pray, Lord, that as we gather before your incredible and amazing and wonderful presence this morning, that you would bless your people, that you would open up our minds to receive your word and to understand it, that you would grant to us in our hearts a great love for biblical doctrine and truth, and that, Lord, you would cause it to be so rooted in our hearts that it is lived out in our lives. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so question number one that we're going to look to cover this morning is, what is the biblical teaching on divorce and remarriage? Okay, a great one to start the day with, huh? Maybe the question presumes a little bit that divorce and remarriage is something that is allowed, permitted, authorized in the Bible. And so maybe we should start with that question first, right? Is there any allowance for divorce in the Bible at all? Because if there's not, then we can just go move on to the next question. Right? But the answer to, is divorce permitted in Scripture? The answer is yes. Right? Divorce is permitted, but the key word there is permitted. Okay? Marriage is the divine institution that God orchestrated in the beginning, right? Bringing together one man, one woman, to leave and cleave and to be together forever. Divorce, then, is not an institution that was ordained and instituted by God, but rather it is a human institution. Now, what we see is that the Bible recognizes it, the Bible permits it, the Bible regulates it. But as Jesus says in his response to the Pharisees' question in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, where he says this, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Okay, so marriage is a divine institution, divorce a human one that was not the way in which God intended things from His creation. Now, when we think about divorce, the concept of divorce is really found in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's there that it almost comes to us already kind of full-blown. And this is why then in like Deuteronomy 24, we have Moses who allows it in certain circumstances. Although, remember, under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament, adultery resulted in death. And so there are some cases in which Moses allowed a man to give his wife a bill of divorce. And that really protected the wife, didn't it? Right? It protected her against false accusations that she was, you know, someone who was married and so she couldn't be married to someone else. And so in Deuteronomy 24 verses 1 to 4, we see some of Moses's teaching here as he establishes the process of divorce, which includes then writing that bill of divorce to give to your spouse as you send them away. Maybe we also ought to ask the question, though, that what ultimately is divorce? Well, divorce is really the breaking of a covenant between two parties. Right? What divorce says is that what was expected between these two parties is expected no more. Right, it's required of neither of them anymore. The parties, both husband and wife are free from their obligations towards one another. And so it's a severing, right, of a covenantal relationship. Now, in the New Testament, we see that Jesus is up to date on the teaching of divorce, that he understands it, and he speaks about it on a few occasions, right? Matthew 19 is one such occasion. Right there, the Pharisees came up to him, tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." And then here in verse 9, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." And so we see here Jesus recognizes the concept of divorce and even points out himself a legitimate cause for divorce. Now it's important also to say, though, that Jesus says that he doesn't say the man should or has to divorce, right? But that he may, right? He may divorce. We also see Jesus speak about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And so in both instances, in Matthew 5, Matthew 19, we see that Jesus affirms that there's, right, at least one legitimate cause for divorce, and that is adultery. Okay? But here comes the trouble, though, doesn't it? You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and what Paul says there, and then the question arises, is Paul contradicting Jesus? Right? Are Paul and Jesus saying two conflicting things? Because it seems as if, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right, Paul adds to the list. Right? He adds another legitimate reason that one may become divorced. If you want to look with me, you can at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read through verses 10 to 15 together. First Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 to 15. There Paul says, "To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" So what do we do with it? Right? How are we to think about this? Right, Jesus says there's only one legitimate reason for divorce. That's adultery. Paul comes along and says, no, there's another legitimate reason for divorce. And that's if the unbelieving spouse departs. Right, well, here's what we need to lay hold of, is that they're dealing with different things. Right? They're addressing different issues. Right? We have to grasp this in order to see that they're not, in fact, contradicting one another. In Matthew 5 and 19, Jesus is dealing exclusively with the husband putting his wife away. Right? Writing that bill of divorce, sending her away. And so what Jesus is saying, that the only reason that a husband can send his wife away is for adultery. Right? That's what Jesus says. But Paul is here dealing with something totally different. Right? Paul is dealing with something totally different. Now, one thing I want us to just take note of. In verse 10, to the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord, the wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not be divorced. We are not to think of separation as the same way we do today as Paul is using it in Scripture. Okay, when we think of separation, we just think of like, you know, husband and wife choosing to live apart for a little while, and maybe while they're separate, they both give each other the okay to, you know, to gallivant around and do things with other parties, and then maybe decide to get back together one day or just decide that they're better off alone and divorce. Right? That's not the idea of separation in the Bible. When we talk about separation between married parties, it always refers to divorce. Okay? That's why Paul says, to the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord, the wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain, what? Unmarried. So separation, divorce. Now, in verses 10 and 11, what we need to understand is he's dealing with a different group of people than he's dealing with from verses 12 to 15. Okay? In verses 10 and 11, he's talking about believers marrying believers. It's in starting in verse 12, though, that he begins to deal with mixed marriages. Okay? So 10 and 11, believers and believers. And so he's saying, right, believer and believer, unless adultery has been committed, there's no reason for you to divorce. And wife, if you leave your husband, if you guys are both Christians, then what ought to happen is you ought to repent and come back together, right, and be married. Because any other reason of separation other than adultery makes that marriage, or makes that divorce, excuse me, illegitimate, right? Now, starting in verse 12, though, he says, to the rest. Right there, he's distinguishing those two groups, believers and believers, and to the rest. Well, who are to the rest? Well, it's those who were first unbeliever and unbeliever. But now you have one of the parties in that marriage becoming a believer. Right? They become a believer. And so the question is, well, if I'm the believing party, am I now unequally yoked? You know, should I leave my partner now? Should I go find a godly husband or wife instead? And so this is, right, Paul's answer then that he's dealing with. Right, he says, in agreement with Jesus, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, don't divorce her. Which is Paul agreeing with Jesus, saying the only reason that you can put her away is adultery. You can't put her away just because you've become a believer and she's not. Right? So he's in agreement there with Jesus. Right? What we also then need to see as well is here in verse 14 then. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving party separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. So, okay, here's the issue here though. Is that although as a believer, there is no reason, no legitimate reason to put away our spouse other than adultery, you're not the only party in the marriage. And you can't constrain someone to stay with you. You can't constrain the unbeliever to remain. And so this is why Paul says, well, if they decide though, they don't want to be married, if they want to leave, they want to depart, he says, then let them. Right? Let the separation occur. Not only though, let them and let the separation occur, but he says, you are no longer bound to that marriage covenant anymore. Right? You're not bound to it. You are not enslaved. So he's saying, you no longer owe a marital debt to this person. You are released from the bond of marriage. And so Jesus is dealing with the question of putting away, right? Paul's not dealing with the question of putting away. He's addressing the question of willful desertion by the unbeliever in a marriage covenant. And so Paul agrees, as I said with Jesus, that only for adultery can you put away your spouse. Right? He's talking about the willful going away. Not the husband sending the wife away, but the wife sending herself away. Okay, so two totally different situations. And so the question then to kind of wrap this one up is what is the biblical teaching on divorce? Well, that there are two legitimate reasons for divorce. The legitimate reason number one is adultery. And there the spouse may put away, right, the adulterous spouse by giving them a bill of divorce, as it's a legal matter. The second legitimate reason is if your unbelieving spouse willingly departs, right, no longer wanting to be married to you, abandons you, right, leaves you. Well, then there too, you are released from that marriage covenant, from that marriage bond, right? Now, someone might say, well, what about Malachi 2:16? God hates divorce. And if God hates divorce, how can we say that it's okay for someone to divorce? Well, I think we need to understand what it means when we say God hates divorce. God hates divorce, why? Well, because that wasn't His original intention in creation when He instituted marriage. But also, what is the cause of every divorce? Sin. And so God hates divorce because there is always sin behind it. Right? Whether that's adultery or whether that's leaving for some illegitimate reason because you're not happy. Okay? But also see this though, not every divorce is sinful. Right? Not every divorce is sinful. This is what Jesus and this is what Paul teach us. Now to move on to remarriage. The key issue that we need to grasp is this, ultimately. That once you are legitimately freed from the bond of marriage, you are no longer in a covenantal relationship with that person, and you are viewed as someone who is free, who is single, who is unbound. Thus, you are able to remarry. But only when? For those reasons that we just spoke about. Right? When it is a legitimate reason, or the death of a spouse, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. And so, the question is, am I in a covenantal relationship or am I not? And you can leave your partner, you can divorce your spouse, and still then, if you remarry, it'd be illegitimate. Right? Because in the eyes of God, you're still married to that first spouse. And so we need to see, the question is, am I in covenant relationship? Right? Is that how I am viewed by God? If I am, then I cannot remarry. Right? I can't just not be happy, leave this marriage, marry another. Right? That is illegitimate remarriage. Because you are still married to that partner because you did not divorce for a legitimate reason. Right? But if that spouse is an adulterer, well, then you may leave. You may remarry. And you are not committing adultery in that. Romans chapter 7, as I just stated, Paul says in verse 2, "For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage." Okay? That's the same kind of language that Paul just used in 1 Corinthians 7. You're no longer bound to your spouse. It's as if your spouse has died in a sense, right? You're single. You're by yourself. You're not in covenant relationship anymore. And so you have the ability thus to remarry. I mean, we see this even with Jesus, right? We can go back to Jesus' words. In Matthew 5, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Here, he's not arguing against remarriage. Right? Here the issue is of the husband who is forcing his wife to be an adulterer because he puts her away for an illegitimate reason. And now when she marries, she becomes an adulterer. The one who marries her becomes an adulterer. But you see who the sin Jesus is resting on. It's the husband, right? Who in a sense forced his wife to do so by illegitimately putting her off. In Matthew 19, verse 9, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Well, the reverse of that then is also true, right? That whoever divorces his wife for adultery and marries another legitimately does so. Right? The inverse is true. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Which means if you divorce because of sexual immorality, you may remarry and not commit adultery. Okay, that's Jesus' point here. And so, to the question then of biblical grounds for divorce, two causes. Adultery and abandonment by spouse. Is remarriage legitimate in Scripture? Yes. To the one who is no longer in covenant relationship, legitimately. Right, so the one who has been committed adultery against, he puts off his wife. He's free to go marry. The woman who husband dies is free to go marry. The one who spouse abandons them is free to marry. Right, because those are legitimate causes that God has given and permitted for man in order that we might remarry. One quick point though. In Mark chapter 10, because obviously this can be, I think, a rebuttal of sorts to the question. In verse 12, I'll start at verse 10. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Right? Whoever divorces and marries another commits adultery. If she divorces her husband and marries, she commits adultery. It seems here as if Jesus is now saying, right, there is no grounds for remarriage for anybody. But that's not what he's saying. If you flip over back to the Gospel of Matthew, it gives us a fuller picture of what is being dealt with here. And in verse 3 of Matthew 19, and the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? They're thinking about all sorts of causes that they wanted to put away their wife, illegitimate causes. That's what Jesus here then deals with. And what Mark records him saying here in verse 11 and 12. Whoever divorces his wife, marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband, marries another, she commits adultery. He's talking about all of those illegitimate causes. That's what he's addressing, that they have brought up and sought to put away their own wives by using. Right? So Jesus says, no, that those aren't legitimate causes, and you will commit adultery if you do that.